Welcome to OMG, the Omara Gale Radio Show. I'm your host, Mara Gale, actress, author, evangelist, and co-producer of the docudramedy, the award-winning docudramedy, STEM the Movement. And you know what I love to do? I love to help people see things differently. I enjoy when a perspective is widened, when views are enlarged, because the more angles you have of a situation, the better the vantage point so that you can make informed decisions. You see, I've been blessed with experience in all sorts of areas, and I believe in my heart and my soul that we all live and learn in order to share and teach. I love serving Maravation because it's the perfect blend of motivation and inspiration. I believe some of the greatest people in the world are only one word of encouragement away from being and doing something meaningful. I think if more people would get outside of themselves and their situations and just look up, call up, or speak up and into the lives of others, we would experience a more productive world around us. So tonight's OMG Omara Gale Radio Show is called Open Air. And Open Air was designed to kind of air out the things that are on my mind, or perhaps some of the things that are on your mind. And one of the hot topics that's been going on is suicide, unfortunately. You know, so I want us to unpack some things and talk about it. And just so my radio listeners know, tonight I am also streaming via Facebook Live. I'm going to be communicating with Facebook Live if they call in and ask questions. However, I will not be chatting back and forth with my Facebook Live audience as I normally do. But you can call into the show, and the phone number to call in is 347-324-5246. Again, that's 347-324-5246. Because this conversation is between you and I. We're going to have a dialogue about some of the hot topics. Like I said, suicide rate is on a rise. It is at an all-time high. And I'm not sure if you're aware that suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the U.S. Each year, 44,965 Americans die by suicide. And for every suicide, 25 attempts are made. Suicide costs the U.S. $69 billion annually. I think those numbers are staggering. And in light of Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain, I thought we'd just kind of unpack it and talk a little bit about how it affects us, or what can we do to counteract or counterbalance depression. I found in my circles and in my life, a lot of times people have dark thoughts. I know when I was going through a very, very difficult time in my life about 4 years ago, I remember being crawled up in the fetal position in a corner, wondering if God had done all he had planned to do with me, because if he had, I told God I was ready to go. Now, I didn't have a plan to commit suicide. I didn't have a thought of how I would do anything. I didn't premeditate an act, but I definitely felt the darkness of despair. I definitely felt hopeless in that moment. I definitely felt all alone, even though I knew God was and is always with me. And I know I'm not alone. I know that because I've spoke with many people who feel that same darkness, who sometimes find it difficult to just wake up. And so I thought that I'd dedicate today's open air show, the OMG Omara Gale Radio Show, as a platform to allow people to share what's on their mind, to share what's on their heart, to call into the show and share with me some of the things that have caused you to feel depressed and share some of the tips and nuggets that perhaps helped pull you out of the darkness, helped pull you out of despair, helped pull you out of hopelessness into hopefulness. I believe sometimes if we just maybe call a friend, you know how on TV shows you get to phone a friend if you don't have the answer? I think we can phone a friend sometimes when we're at our darkest. I think sometimes devastation of loss, the devastation of a divorce, the devastation of a breakup, the devastation of a lost job can cause people to misinterpret where they are in life. And now let me unpack that. I believe that we have attached value to who we are based on our titles sometimes. Now, those titles could be wife, those titles could be boss, employee, those titles could be mom, girlfriend, boyfriend. Those titles could be owning a home. And then when you lose a home, you feel like you no longer have value, or you become ashamed of that, or you feel despair, depending on why you lost the house. Or it could be bankruptcy. Maybe you're having a financial situation, you file bankruptcy, and all of a sudden you feel like, I haven't reached the goal that I set for myself at this age and this time in life. Or perhaps you were infertile, or you lost a child, and you're at a certain age and you're wondering, what's my new title? How do I define this new season in life? Well, tonight's show is to unpack all of that. Tonight's show is to discuss some of those things. So if you've got a question, a comment, or concern about suicide or depression, or even the triggers of that, which is stress, a loss of some sort, feel free to call in at 347-324-5246. When Kate Spade, when it was shared on the news that Kate Spade had committed suicide, it sent shockwaves, I believe, to a lot of people. A lot of people, because we view Kate Spade as being successful. We viewed her, and again, most of us didn't know her personally. We just viewed her in a certain light based on her accomplishments. We believed if you're successful, if people are buying your product or celebrating you in some shape, form, or fashion, that you must be happy in life. We view a lot of our millionaires as being happy, or billionaires as being happy. And although I don't believe a suicide note was, if it was found, I don't believe they shared it, we still took that death to mean something. Like, how can someone so successful commit suicide, even though we have no idea what Kate Spade's day-to-day life was like? Anthony Bourdain, another person. You know, I didn't know him personally, but I watched his show quite a bit, so much so that when he passed away, I sort of felt like I lost a long lost uncle or a friend that I didn't speak to often, but I checked on all the time. You know how we have friends on social media that we check in on every now and then to kind of see how they're doing? That's how Anthony Bourdain was to me. I actually ended up writing a piece about him. I didn't publish the piece, but I'll share a little bit with you. That I said about Anthony Bourdain. I said, I felt like I lost someone I knew in a personal way. I felt like he was very real and an extremely good storyteller. What darkness befalls this world? This week alone, we find a successful 55-year-old designer and a 61-year-old chef, TV personality, and world traveler, both gone too soon. And when I think about what was served to the world via Anthony Bourdain, I'd have to say he was the conduit into a cacophony of delicious meals where we would digest the meaning of the people and the cultures that prepared the dishes. And he also endeared us to flavors and moments and causes seasoned by compassionate common sense and oftentimes comedic lines followed by his rich, deep, bellowing laughter. Now, that was just a little that I kind of wrote because I needed to kind of vent about what he meant to me or what I thought about him. And I believe there's some people online that want to kind of join in the conversation. If you'll press one, we'll enter you into the queue. Just press one, be entered into queue, and we can have a conversation tonight on hot topics, either depression or suicide or the stressors that come with suicide or depression, or the effects of a loss, any kind of loss. You may have lost in a relationship. Maybe there was a divorce, or maybe there was a difficult breakup, or maybe you lost a child. I was recently in Los Angeles, and a very good friend of mine, unfortunately, lost her mom. And it was a very difficult time for the entire family, as it would be. And there are different ways that people cope with loss. Some people can't sleep. Some people feel like it's the end of the world for them too and no longer want to keep living. Some people feel such a hopelessness and a despair that it greets them every single morning. It greets them every single morning like the sunshine may greet others. I was sharing with my listeners that a few years ago, when I went through an extremely difficult period in my life, I found myself with all of the curtains and the blinds closed, and I found myself just balled up in a corner, feeling hopeless, sad beyond words. It was a heaviness and a grief that I can't even though I love words, I can't even put in tangible words. Food had no taste. Music had no sound. My heart was beating, but it was so broken in so many pieces until it was if it was like a drum beats in my head and my mind. It was so loud and so confusing and so painful. Now, this show is not to be a sad show. This show is actually to expose and to shine a light on a situation that has been getting worse and worse and worse. So how do we deal with this phenomenon, this new reality that we're now facing? You know, it seems like bullying is at an all-time high. As we mentioned, suicide rates are at an all-time high. So how do we counteract that? You know, America is one of the richest countries in the world. We have an access of everything. I mean, we just bowls of things that most countries wish they could put their hands on. We have napkin and toilet tissue and toilet paper and paper towels and paper plates and paper cups, whereas other countries are eating with their finger, hands, you know. And with all of this access, better jobs, you know, we have higher paying jobs. We have very successful people. We have so much at our fingertips, but why are we always constantly striving for bigger, better, and more? Why is that? Why is that that we are never truly satisfied or appear to not be satisfied? I want to talk about that too. And I also want to talk about one of the things that I did in order to counteract or counterbalance that hopelessness, that depression, that feeling of despair, when I was at my darkest moment. And before I go in to share that, I want to welcome a caller on the line. If the last four digits of your number are 6974, you're on live with Mara Gale in our open air segment. Welcome.
Hello, Mara. How you doing?
I'm fantastic. Who's this?
This is Donald Taylor.
Donald Taylor, one voice. Donald Taylor, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for calling in. I recently heard that One Voice is having a reunion, so I'm going to keep my eyes on that so that I can join it. But I'm so glad you were able to call in and join the conversation. Would you like to share something on the topic of depression or suicide or stress triggers?
Well, let's talk about depression because, first of all, especially among our culture of Black people, that's taboo. Even if it was happening, you don't want to talk about it, or you don't want to go to good counseling. So, I can say I was a functional depressive person for many, many years, even when you met me, but I didn't know it until years later. Low self-esteem, and I think it all happened when I did my first recording, and then when I had the accident, and then I lost my voice because I was just beginning the peak of my career of singing, the gospel, and then I had that accident. I thank God for sparing me. That's not even an issue. But in that's the journey of my depression started.
The accident that you had, what kind of accident was it? Because for our listeners that are tuning in.
I was shot in the neck, and then the bullet exited out the right side of my ear. The
Oh my.
doctors, yeah. The doctors didn't say this, I wasn't going to last within 24 hours, but the power of prayer, people who came down and prayed for me while I was in the emergency, God turned it around within 24 hours. But it was just, it didn't start at that time. Things start taking off, but I was like, I didn't know who I was anymore. Because I guess I relied it on my voice. And when that was taken away, not knowing that my director as well, that even didn't like faze me. It's like, okay, what am I supposed to do next? But through the years, I thank God for certain people and certain of my groups that were around me, that was with me through my darkness, and kept praying for me. And even when I came to Faith Central, my healing was starting there, but still, I was still bitter, confused, and was still in the midst of doing, church and ministry. But seeds were being planted as I was there. Okay. Now, when it took glory, that's the question, But I was very functional, would go around the country singing and ministering and go straight back to my room, to my darkness, and fire up a joint.
So, Donald, what I'm hearing is probably something that a lot of folks deal with, functioning depression, where we are doing everything that we're supposed, we're showing up at work, or we're showing up at church, or we're showing up at the choir, or in the pews, and it looks, we look normal because we're wearing this mask called I'm okay. But you, by your own admission, once you were shot in the neck and the bullet came out of your ear, and the doctors were telling you weren't going to live, but the power of prayer said, oh, he shall live and not die. Even though you were alive, you had an identity shift, and you no longer knew, okay, I was a recording artist, doing great at the height of my career. Now who am I? Not realizing at that particular moment, okay, I'm also a director. I'm also a man. I'm alive. I'm a human being. And so your transparency gives other people permission, our listeners permission, to know that, yeah, you may be functioning in it, but until you identify it in order to overcome it can overwhelm you. And the next thing you know, you're no longer participating in life. You are a spectator.
Yeah. So basically, all the songs that were written that Reading Forest and the summer songs that I wrote, all those were prophetic.
Mm.
Okay? So living my way through on what I wrote. Okay?
Wow.
Living, catching up with the grace of God, catching up, I shall not be defeated. Okay?
Wow.
Catching up, give him your life today.
Yeah.
So everything was I didn't realize until years and years that it was prophetic.
Mm.
I was walking in the prophetic ministry, not knowing that I had to catch up to what I was singing.
That is awesome. You were writing prophetic songs, and you were shabaking yourself, unbeknownst to you. Your songs were speaking to where you were going to be and where you were going and not what you were feeling. That is so incredibly powerful. And that also explains why to this day, everybody loves us in One Voice. You are a phenomenal choir director, Donald. And I'm so grateful I had an opportunity to be under your leadership. What a blessing it was at Faithful Central Bible Church. I'm so grateful that you called in. I hope you become a longtime listener. This is perhaps your first time listening in, but I hope you become a longtime listener. I am right here every single Thursday, and I do open air once a month where I allow people to dialogue with me on this subject. And I believe depression is a very difficult subject, and most people don't get to the heart of it. So what I'd like to do, Donald, if it's okay with you, is have a one-on-one interview with you so that I can unpack more of it and share your story with our listeners in a real rich way, so that it's just an hour of you and I dialogue. And then if your wife Desiree wants to come on, she's more than welcome. But I believe your story is unique, and I believe that our listeners would truly grow hearing how you overcame that and to know where God has put you now.
Right. I would love to. I just know that, and I might step on some toes when I say this, I just know through the years, especially where I'm at now, in my walking relationship, and how God has really shown many, many things. I mean, we went through a season when you were talking about losing of home, loss of homes, and everything. Been there, done that, and felt like I was a failure. And my wife wouldn't let me feel that way, even though she was there. It's just like I made some wrong decisions or what, But even sometimes I saw my wife going into depression when we lost the house and stuff, and we had to downsize and everything. And sometimes I felt like, because of the man, the leadership, was I trying to keep up with the quote unquote prosperity message?
Yeah.
And
of
you
course.
But in the midst of that, God was in the midst of that darkness where we had to downsize to a 2-bedroom. God was still ministering to us.
Donald, I don't want you to give like little, I don't want to have like snippets. I want people to hear your whole story, because I know a portion of it and I know it to be powerful. And even this part that you're sharing, there are listeners right now, either on Facebook and on air, because these shows actually get shared via podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and the Stitcher app, that need to hear your whole story. We've got about 4 more callers online now, but I want to make sure that we hear your whole story. So I want to give an hour to you. I'm going to inbox you after the show, and we'll find out what your schedule is like, and we'll make it happen, okay?
No problem.
Awesome. Thank you so much for calling in. And please tell my girl I said, what up? Okay, have a great day. Thanks for calling in. Caller, we're going to have another caller in. If the last 4 digits are 7718, you're on live with OMG, and I'm Mara Gale, the host.
Great evening, Mara Gale. This is Tini Blake.
Hi,
I feel like it's a reunion. I was in One Voice, too. I got to come to that reunion. I got to fly up from Texas and get to that reunion. I'm married now, so I have 2 voices, but I used to be One Voice. Wow.
I know, Donald.
That was an awesome story.
Happening.
Awesome. Awesome story. I didn't know that. I've been gone a while, so I did not know that forward to that show as well. But what I wanted to just come on and say quickly is that you asked a question, you posed a question early on about why is this on the rise? Why is suicide, all this, you know, cyberbullying, you know, depression on the rise? And you know what? I read a quote, and I'm probably going to misquote it, but this was the gist of it. When we compare ourselves to other people, it is a crime against ourselves. And the world has gotten a lot smaller. So now we're able to see what other people are doing. Like I can just get on the internet and just Google pictures or go to Facebook and find people who live in Dubai who are ridiculously wealthy. Or I can watch a video. I can see how Beyonce lives. Or I can see what Jada Pinkett is doing. So therefore, my life here in Dallas, where I'm driving my little car and I'm going to my office and doing this and doing that, which I was entirely happy with and was satisfied. And then I see somebody else, I'm like, wow, okay, they're younger than me, they're more successful than me. Wow, they did this and that. Wow, they're only 35 years old. Oh, and they got four kids. And, you know, three of their kids are geniuses. It just, you know, there's an opportunity because of the way that we can connect immediately on social media and, you know, through the internet. And we've made the world to where we can just see everything. We have complete access to almost anything in a matter of nanoseconds. We get to compare what used to be fulfilling to I thought I was happy till I saw Jada Pinkett doing her TV show by herself on Facebook. I was like, wow, I'm not doing enough. How come I can do that too? So if you get sucked into it, that is a very easy way. That's a very easy way, one, to go into depression and to go even further to compare yourself and to some gifts and talents that the Lord did not give you. He gave you the power to be you, not to be somebody else. That person has that gifting and that talent and that anointing for their journey. And then there's another thing that you said, and I was a huge fan of Anthony as well.
Ordain.
I watched the show, yes, all the time. But I did notice this, you know, because I think I even commented, you know, to you privately that I always thought that he had, you know, some type of torture in his life. Oftentimes, we have friends or we see people in our lives that are dealing with something or we see glimpses of it and we don't attend to it. We don't call them out on it. We don't reach out and say, hey, are you okay? Because I've even seen, and this is on television because I don't know the man, I've seen what he has drank so much in episodes. He's fallen over on the floor and then everybody laughed and the camera still kept rolling. He's been completely incapacitated on multiple times, but they kind of lightened it up and, you know, played a little soundtrack that was doo-doo-doo, that was kind of funny and said, and then they would cut and they would fade to black. But that showed, this is a man at work that was highly inappropriate. Yeah. So if camera and crew let that get on camera, you can only imagine what his family and friends and other people saw on a regular basis that maybe did not attend to it or maybe were afraid to or just didn't know how to. And that is an issue when you see somebody and you say something's not right. That can save somebody's life sometimes. So there were two things. I wanted to talk about the world being smaller through social media, and then I wanted to also talk about there's signs and signals there oftentimes that we see that we, you know, we say, well, that's them, you know, and let it go.
That's really good, Teresa. TV, I appreciate you sharing that. I mean, there's so much that I could unpack based on what you said. First of all, you're right. When Anthony Bourdain was on TV, they'd show episodes and he'd be down and stuff and drinking. And that's what they showed. And he'd be drunk. He'd be intoxicated. And yes, through social media, there has been this obsession, if you will, with how can I have what that person has? I mean, there are even apps to alter how you look just so that you can look like the celebrities or look slimmer or look lighter or look like you have no blemish or look like you've got fuller hair. Social media, although it has been such a blessing, it has also been, I believe, a curse. You know, just kind of like technology has been a huge blessing, but it has also been a curse because some use it for good and some use it for bad. Social media also is a source of bullying. But you're right. You see some popular shows, like you said, Red Table, Jada Pinkett Show, I think is amazing. And also you have people who see that show. While some of us may celebrate it, other people may feel like what you said, Am I standing still? Why didn't I think of that? Or what am I doing? Or am I too lazy? Why am I not being, you know, parlaying what it is that God has given me into something else? And then we do the unthinkable. We began to compare ourselves with other people's successes. And sometimes, just like, you remember when Tiffany Haddish came out when she did Girls Trip? Was it Girls Trip? Yeah, Girls Trip. And people thought she appeared overnight. And I know people were coveting, like, wow, she just got a lucky break. Tiffany had been on a grind for years. And so it's her time. It's her season. Yeah, decades. But people only see you when you get thrust, you know, into the stratosphere in what appears to be a quick fashion. But you're right. All of the things that come at us so quick, from being able to instantly see when somebody purchased a new car, to instantly seeing when they're on the beach and it looks like they're living their life la vida loco or carefree, or they're balling out of control, or people are showing you the insides of their home, then you're like, well, wow, I got an apartment, or look, my house is the size of a matchbox. But I want to remind our listeners that God is not a respecter of person. And I also want to remind our listeners that you have talents and gifts. Your talents and gifts may not look like other people's talents and gifts, but that's what makes you unique. That's what makes you who you are. And that's what makes what you have to offer that much more valuable. Nobody likes a duplicate or a replica. They want the real thing. Nobody goes to buy a knockoff. Well, people buy a knockoff Rolex, but a knockoff Rolex is never as valuable as a real Rolex. And so I say to you, no matter how many people you imitate, you will never be as good as the original, the Rembrandt. And the same goes for you. There are people that will imitate you or bite what you say or even bite what you do, but they'll never be TV Blake and they'll never be Mara Gale. And no matter how hard I try or how hard you try, we'll never be someone else. So you're right. Part of why I believe also that the suicide rate has increased and that more people are feeling depressed or low self-esteem is because media, social media and television media, is portraying a aspect of a person's life without you seeing the pain that it took to propel them to that purpose. So I thank you for bringing that to our attention. I thank you for revealing, or I should say, helping us unpack how the world is getting smaller and smaller via social media, because we can have instant satisfaction, instant access, and which can cause instant envy or instant jealousy. And then we've got people chiming in saying, you know, not everything that glitters is gold. Thank you, Damien, an Arthur friend of ours. Not everything. And you know that old saying, the grass always looks greener on the other side. We saw Jada Pinkett, for example, in her turbans thinking, oh, that is so dope. And then she shared and revealed on her show that her hair was falling out. So we're coveting, you know, people are like, oh, she's wearing that turban, so cute, it looks so nice. And she's like, it's necessary, because she said she was in the shower and hair was all in her hands. And even on that show, she's doing this open show and she's got her wonderful children involved and her mom, and everybody's looking fabulous. And little Willow said she was cutting herself at one point. And of course she got herself out of that, but we never know what families and people go through, even celebrities. So I thank you so much for your feedback. I thank you for helping me unpack, you know, depression and some of the causes of it. And we'll continue this conversation and this dialogue around it, because I think it's important. And I believe that the more we shine light on it, the less people will feel like they're alone in the dark and that they're the only ones dealing with the problem. So thank you so much, TV Blake, for calling in.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I'm going to read one of the comments that I actually got on social media from Pastor John L. Strickland. He says, God has an uncanny way of shifting us into destiny. Pain often accompanies us in our journey, but his heart is never to cause us damage or depression. When we open ourselves to his grace, grace steps in a mighty and supernatural way. We have only to trust him. Trust becomes difficult when we've been beaten and battered by life's circumstances, but grace all the more when we enter new levels of our relationship with God. He gives us grace He gives grace to the humble. The idea is to humble ourselves before him rather than being humbled by him. And I think that's so apropos because we can get so caught up in our titles, caught up in our homes, caught up. You know, we heard Brother Donald share earlier when they lost their home, how it caused some trepidation and some panic. And I look forward to hearing his whole story. But we can get caught up in the successes that we have. And when we come on the other side of that hill, because, you know, the top of the hill, the mountaintop experiences are less frequent than the valleys. I mean, I've had some amazing moments, and some of you have probably heard on social media or read on social media some of the recent mountaintop experiences. I just played the wife of Lawrence Fishburne in a film that will be out in 2019. I'm a series, have a recurring role on Saints and Sinner on TV. And of course, this radio show is broadcast live every Thursday and it's on podcast. However, that's three mountaintops I've just shared with you. There have been so many valleys. And and I also just celebrated an anniversary of being married, and I'm extremely happy in that. Yet, there are valleys in the midst of all of those things, because you cannot consistently and constantly live on the mountaintop moments, nor can you live for the mountaintop moments. It's how you handle the valleys that show God the value of the vessel. How you handle the valleys helps to show God the value of how you handle them. You know, so I'm grateful that I have a platform to open up and share with you, the listeners, so that we can unpack further what we deal with, what depression means, what triggers depression. You know, what are your stresses? And I'm going to take a real brief break. And when I go on this break, I'm going to mute to my radio audience so that I could talk to Facebook for a little bit. But when I come back, I want to talk about some of the antidotes, some of the things we can do to counteract the stressors, some of the things we can do to counteract depression, perhaps, or put it in perspective. And if you'd like to call in and share a comment or ask a question, the number to call is 347-324-5246. Press 1 and you'll be entered into queue, and then I'll call the last four digits of your number. I want to now kind of unpack a little bit what I did to get myself out of a sad and dark place. I know for me, when I'm sad, one of the ways that I can get myself out of that is to do something for someone less fortunate. And I know those who may be dealing with depression are probably saying, well, how do you do that? If you're really, really sad, how do you do that? I force myself to get up. I force myself to brush my teeth, to take a shower, to put some clothes on so that I can make someone else smile. Because to me, creating a smile on someone else's face would be the energy that I need to cause a smile to come on my face, to cause something to fill my heart with joy. And I did that. I was going through a horrific divorce, and it was daunting and devastating, and I was at a loss, utter loss behind it. And I remember going online and looking for organizations that I could seed into and sow into. And I found an organization at the time called Silver Linings, and it helped veterans. And I contacted the owner of the organization, and I began to volunteer with that organization. I also did that with other groups because I found if I helped people that were less fortunate, and I saw them smile, and I watched them appreciate the value of the vessel, it helped take the focus off of me, therefore putting the focus onto them. And when I put the focus onto them, and I witnessed a smile, and I witnessed the joy, and I witnessed the appreciation, and I witnessed that what I was giving was of value, and I saw that and experienced that, and I felt that, it started filling up my tank. And I want to impress upon you to learn about the gift of giving. Generosity has amazing rewards. Generosity can take you out of some of the darkest times you'll ever, ever go through in life. When you sow into what you want to grow into, when you give beyond what you may even feel you have the capacity to give, and you give it anyway, I promise you, if it meets a need, you're going to get something back. Now, it may not be what you give, but you're gonna get something of value back, because it is almost impossible to meet a need and not have your needs met. And I know that sounds real, maybe spooky spiritual or kind of, you know, lofty and idealistic, but I've done it. And I've not only done it once, I've done this every single time that I felt hopeless, every single time that I had my pillow stained with my own tears, every time that I looked at a bank account and it was below zero, every time I wondered, what was I doing? How did I get to this age and not accomplish X, Y, and Z? Or why am I at this age and still trying to learn the lesson of A, B, and C? Or why does this keep happening to me? Now get it. I never questioned God, because I believed whatever choices I was making or not was affording me an opportunity to learn a lesson, a very valuable lesson. And so I kept waking up and I kept showing up and I kept giving up, giving, and not giving up as in I surrendered on the problem, but giving the problem up to God. Putting it in his capable hands. And so I began my generosity plea. You know, I began giving my way out of sadness. I was listening to a TV show the other day, and this young kid and his dad had written this book, and it shares little short stories of how they were giving. And I found it very fascinating because it was an extremely simple concept, but it had an extremely powerful and profound meaning to me. I don't know if you all remember the movie Pay It Forward, but it was a beautifully done movie. And right now I can't recall the kid who was the star of it, but it was a powerful movie. And Kevin Spacey, I believe, was the teacher of this young kid. And he had challenged the kids in the class to make a difference. And so the kids, you know, some of them didn't take it seriously. Well, one kid really took what the teacher said to heart, and he put his all into it, even risked his life to pay it forward. He ended up befriending a guy that was a druggie, and it was dangerous for him. And I'm not encouraging you to do anything that would put your life at risk. This was, of course, a Hollywood movie. But I'm saying that to say, sometimes in order to get a great reward, you have to take a great risk. Sometimes when you're at your most depleted state, in your most darkest moments, when you're feeling the most hopeless, I, Mara Gale, had to fake it until I made it. I had to put on a smile. Now, don't get that mixed up with I was faking with those who knew me well. It just wasn't something that most people could even handle or that I wanted to put in the hands or hearts of most people. I literally was having a setback, and I didn't want to make any permanent decisions for what I knew to be a temporary situation. And so I encourage you, no matter what you're going through, if you've lost your job, if you've lost your house, if you and your mate or your boyfriend or girlfriend have broken up, if you've gotten a divorce or are going through a divorce, I want to encourage you to not make a permanent decision when you are dealing with a temporary situation. Because if you can think in 5 years what your life may be like, it will not be like it is today. No matter how bad or devastating it is, it will not be like it is today. And I am a living, breathing, speaking, talking, walking, rich reminder to say where I was 5 years ago is not where I am today. And that young girl who was laying in that bed with the curtains closed and the blinds closed in the fetal position in the darkness, is so far removed from who I am now. Not that I don't have the experiences of it, not that I don't have the sensory recall of it. It is just not a place that I live in my heart anymore. The joy has been restored. God has given me beauty for ashes. Late in the midnight hour, he turned things around. And so I'm here to encourage you that no matter how dark or depleted or despair or hopeless it looks, he is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't love me more than he loves you. And I challenge you, give your way out of despair. Be generous with your time. You may not have money. Be generous with your time. You may have eyes that can see. There are blind people that need you to reach for them. You may have a voice, and it doesn't even have to be a voiceover talent kind of voice. You may be able to read books to senior citizens who can no longer read the print on pages. You may have time to seed into little kids, to be a big sister or a big brother, to mentor them, to walk side by side with them, to take them on your job. If you are employed, you can take a kid on your job and show them some of the things that they may want to learn. I encourage you to use what you have to be a blessing and an influence in someone's life. The benefits are out of this world, as in eternal. I believe that there are three expressions on God's face at any given time. I believe that he is either smiling, frowning, or crying. How many times in the day, I double dog dare you, can you make him smile? How many times in a day can you do something that makes God smile? You know, there are times that I'm in the post office, I'll run up to the counter and they're like, "Hi, it's January." You know, they'll just come up to me and they'll, you know, they greet me because I'm out of town a lot. So when I'm in town, they're always like, you know, greeting me. And there are times that I just pray for them. There are times that I just witness to them and I just encourage them. So when I show up, they're looking for that. They're expecting that. What are people expecting when they see you? When you go to the cleaners, are they expecting you to be happy, or are they expecting you to walk in with a bad attitude, or are they expecting you to show up on a cell phone, handing them your clothes and walking out the door? I am present in the places that I go because I believe my presence is a present. I am present when I walk into the doors of places because I believe my presence is a present. And when you believe you have value, and that's not cocky, that's not conceited, that's not arrogance, that is a confidence that I have something to give. And when you believe you have something to give, you make yourself available to give it. And I believe that all of you that are tuned in right now, I don't believe that it's an accident. I don't believe that it is by mistake. I don't even believe that it's happenstance. I believe you tuned in because there was something you were supposed to hear today. I have a very good friend who at her church, her pastor had challenged the congregation to pray for people. When you're out in public, just, you know, when you run across somebody, give them eye contact and ask if they need prayer. My pastor, Pastor January, made that statement from the pulpit this past Sunday. He encouraged us to be the church. You know, we can't expect our pastors and our leaders to do all the work when there's a whole body of people that go beyond the four walls. And he encouraged us very simply. He shared a story that I shared with him, which was, I was in a Walmart, and I saw a Caucasian young guy, must have been between 30 and 35. And he said, "Hi." And I said, "Hi," with a big old smile. And he said, "Can I help you?" And I said, "No." I said, "But can I help you?" And he said, "Huh?" And I said, "Can I pray for you?" And he hesitated. And he said, "I'm okay." And in my mind, based on how he said it, I imagined he was thinking, "Oh my goodness, I'm at work. Nobody can hold my hand and just pray. I may lose my job." I mean, all of these things kind of went through my mind that perhaps this was going through his mind. Fast forward, I walked with the gentleman. I was pushing a cart, and I said, "What's going on?" And that's all I said. He began to open up and share with me. He said to me, and I promise you, this is exactly how the conversation went. He said, "I take antidepressants. I've been depressed for a long long time, and my doctors are trying to find the right balance of antidepressants for me to take. He said, and I'm in between taking them because the one that I was taking was too strong, but it used to help me sleep. He said, and so I'm not sleeping very well because I can't take those anymore until the doctor can find out the correct balance and get me on the other ones. He says, so I couldn't sleep last night, and I was very depressed, and I didn't want to come to work today, but he said, I believed if I came to work, I would see somebody and I'd be able to interact with people and that would maybe help me get out of my depression. He said, and when I said hi to you and you said hi back, he said, I felt better. And so immediately I knew this was not by accident that this gentleman is sharing this story with a complete stranger in the middle of Target. And so I continued to walk with him a little more and I encouraged him a little bit more. And then his walkie-talkie went off and it was a supervisor, and the supervisor was telling him to meet another young man down the hall. So he turned and I turned with him and we began walking. And I said, can I pray for you? I said, I'm not going to hold your hands or anything. Can I pray for you? And he said, yes. And that was my window. His yes was my window to encourage him. And I allowed the Holy Spirit to speak through me what I should say to this young man who's at work, gravely depressed, who couldn't sleep the night before, who has just opened up to a complete stranger to tell them that he was so depressed that he came to work hoping he'd meet or see someone who would make him smile. I prayed, and then I said, in Jesus' name, amen, as we were about to approach the person he was meeting. And he said, amen. And as I turned to walk away, I heard him say this, man, God sent an angel. She was God sent. And the guy said, you okay? He said, no, man, I need a minute. I can't even tell you what that woman just... God sent her. I'm saying this to you. We don't know how one word of encouragement, one opportunity to pray, one smile in the midst of our day, just get out of yourself sometimes and give something. It could be a smile. It could be a hello. It could be an offer to pray for someone. It could be your time serving or volunteering someplace. Whatever it is that you have, it doesn't even have to cost you anything. It costs sometimes time or it costs a little energy, but it's more muscles to frown. That it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. So I encourage you during this open air show to think about ways in your regular, everyday, ordinary, extraordinary life that you can make someone's day, that you can help lighten the burden of someone's life, that you can read a book to someone who can no longer see, or you can polish fingernails for someone whose hands are too shaky to polish their nails, or cut hair of some senior citizen male who no longer can use the shears to cut his hair. There is something of value in you that you can give that will totally make someone's day, but more importantly, when you make their day, you get to make our daddy smile. Because like I said, I believe he's either smiling, frowning, or crying at things that we do during the day. And when we're in depression and feeling all alone, when we isolate ourselves, the enemy begins to, like a snake, he just sneaks right in and he begins to whisper to you, you're nothing. He whispers to you all these lies. He whispers to you that you're not successful. He whispers to you that, look, they have that and you don't have this. You don't own a home and you aren't married perhaps at a certain age, or you don't have a kid at a certain age, or you haven't amassed this kind of wealth, or why, if you're so talented, haven't you been successful in this? And I say to the enemy, you haven't seen my ending yet. You are merely watching me where I am, but you haven't seen my ending. And as long as there is breath in my lungs, and as long as I have life in my body, I am still in the game and I am still running the race. And so I say to you, be generous with your time, your talents, and what you have access to. Make God smile at your giving and your generosity. Bless somebody in the midst of their day, because you don't know if the day you decide to encourage someone could have been their last day. And I started this show off sharing some statistics on suicide. Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the U.S. Each year, 44,695 people, Americans, die by suicide. And for every suicide, there are 25 attempts. And suicide costs the U.S. $69 billion, with a B, dollars annually. How about you? You, our listeners, those that have tuned in via podcast and live, how about you make a difference in someone's life? Smile at someone, encourage someone, spend time with someone, pick up the phone and check on a friend who may perhaps be going through. I promise you, the benefits are out of this world, as in eternal. That would be my show for tonight. I've enjoyed, or as Jono says, lead them to the kingdom. Amen, Jono. Absolutely. That is always on the top of the radar, leading someone to Christ, giving them the gift of salvation that they may never want again, because they would be safe in eternity with the Father if anything happened to them. So I thank you so much for tuning in. I, of course, am Maura Gale. I enjoyed you, and we're going to say good night and goodbye. And till next time, stay blessed.
Everyone likes to be heard and then listened to, so we want you to set your dial.